Harvard's biggest study on the quality of life and longevity shared one big secret. And this is a study that's longer than 50 years. I believe it's 80 years. And it shared that the quality and longevity, length of our life, is not necessarily just based on how much we exercise, not necessarily based on how well we eat, but what they really discovered, the key discovery here, is that it's based on the quality of our relationships. And this is a huge finding because so many people, whether you're in a relationship right now or you want to create and manifest an amazing, fulfilling relationship, there's going to be challenges, conflicts, road bumps, obstacles along the way. And whether they are showing up right now and causing you a lot of stress or whether they show up in the future, I want to make sure that you have all of the tools that you need, not to create a relationship that's just good, but to truly create a relationship that thrives at the highest level, a relationship where you feel so full, a relationship that fulfills you and makes you happy. So I put together five master keys to creating a relationship that thrives. And these are some of the biggest keys, some of the biggest secrets that I've learned over the last 10 years of coaching people to live a fulfilling life of their own design. And guys, I know firsthand, you know, as somebody that I'm definitely a relationships person, and, you know, in terms of my adult life, I've been in a relationship more than I have been single because I really value, you know, quality, fulfilling relationship. And I also know a lot of people really struggle with this. So if you're listening to this right now and you're going through something in your relationship that's causing you stress, or something just feels like it's not really working in your relationship and you want to bring it to a higher level, this is going to make a massive difference for you. So let's dive in. The first master key that I am going to share with you is all about the secret to filling your cup. And this key is all about understanding. You have to start with understanding. This applies to both men and women. You have to start by understanding how you best receive love. So when you think about the moments in your life where you have felt most loved by a partner, what was happening? What are those love languages? Because, and you know, we're so, when it comes to creating a fulfilling relationship, we're so focused on the other person. But here's a big key. One of the biggest things that I learned as a coach is that the more self-awareness that you have around your relationship with yourself and your wants and needs, the better you're going to be at having awareness around other people's needs. Because self-awareness doesn't stop at self. You know, the foundation of self-awareness is awareness. And as you build your awareness around what you love in relationship and what fulfills you and what fills your cup, you're going to have a greater capacity to fill the cup of your partner, to love your partner in the way that they want to be loved. So a really helpful foundation, and we're going to be diving so much deeper. So if you already know the five love languages, don't be like, oh, the five love languages, like this is going to be super basic. I already know those, guys. We're going really deep on this podcast. Like, we're going to be uncovering needs, and I'm going to be giving you master key questions that you can ask your partner to unlock new levels of love. We're going to be talking, you know, boundary setting and conflict resolution and how to navigate triggers in relationship, because how many of you know that triggers can come up massively in relationships a lot? So what I recommend and what I suggest is studying the five love languages. This is a book. I will link it down in the show notes of the podcast, but I'm going to walk through these with you right now. The five love languages. This is a best-selling book, by the way. Lovely. And this isn't in any particular order. Love language number one is words of affirmation. Love language number two is physical touch. Love language number three is acts of service. Love language number four is quality time. And love language number five is gifts, giving and receiving gifts. So when you look at these five love languages, receiving or giving words of affirmation, physical touch, cuddling, being, having physical connection, your partner giving you a massage or putting their hand on your leg, acts of service, your partner supporting you around the house or doing things around you or planning for you, quality time, them dedicating quality time to you or you spending quality time with them, and then gifts, giving and receiving gifts. What would you say are your top two love languages, your top two favorite ways to receive love? And I want you to reflect on this, because how is your partner supposed to know how to love you if you don't tell them? I had this epiphany in my first serious relationship, and I realized at one point in the relationship, I realized, because I was feeling unfulfilled, I realized that I was not only not aware of my own love languages, but I wasn't letting my partner know how to love me. So when you don't tell your, even if two people are aware of the five love languages, if you don't communicate with your partner and tell them, this is what receiving love means to me, this is how I love to receive love, and you guys share that with each other, you're guessing. Like, your partner's love language when it comes to receiving gifts, that could be the lowest on their love language. But if that's number one for you and you're giving them gifts, they're not receiving love in the same way that you receive love when it comes to gift giving. So in your mind, if you're doing that, it's feeling like, oh my gosh, this is this big thing that I'm doing for them. But in their mind, it's so much smaller, just in the same way where if you don't really care about words of affirmation, but your partner's number one love language is words of affirmation, and they're giving you tons of words of affirmation, and you don't even feel like you can receive them, it doesn't mean much to you. And then your partner might be frustrated because it feels like they're giving you all this stuff, but emotional reciprocity isn't actually happening. And so they're, you know, your cup isn't being filled, and so you don't feel compelled to give back and meet their needs in that way. And so that creates confusion, that creates conflict, that creates breakdown, because one person in the relationship feels like they're giving so much and the other person doesn't feel like they're receiving much, but it's because you're not giving through the ideal pathway of love. And so that's what I want to invite you to discover. Whether you're in a relationship, if you're in a relationship right now, I want you to think about, how does my partner really love to receive love, and ask them. And then think about for yourself, how do I love to receive love, and communicate that to your partner. Remember this, save this podcast for when you are in a relationship, and come back to the Ryan Clark and Mindset podcast and listen to this as a refresher, because you'll be surprised how much we forget about. So that's key number one. Master key number two. We're going from love languages, and these are related, to needs. Everybody has needs in a relationship. And so what I want you to ask yourself is, what do I need most in relationship? In fact, it could be a great assignment for you to journal on this. Journal, what do you truly feel like you need in relationship? And a very powerful question that you can ask your partner. I mean, I think of this as a magic question that unlocks massive love in a relationship. Is sit down with your partner and ask them, what do you need from me in relationship? What do you need from me in relationship? And if your partner takes the traditional masculine role and has a traditional masculine paradigm, they might be like, nothing, I'm fine. And that's where, because traditionally masculine men are, they have learned from their role models not to need much. They take pride, people with this conditioning take pride in not needing much, but giving a lot to the people around them. And what that paradigm creates, yes, it creates a sense of pride in their mind. Yes, it creates a sense of satisfaction in their mind, but it doesn't create fulfillment. And if you're listening to this and you're a man or somebody who has those, that, you know, you relate with this, that of this pattern that I'm talking about, and you have that traditional masculine conditioning where you don't feel like you need much from other people, but you get satisfaction out of serving people. One of the biggest things, and this will feel foreign to you, but one of the biggest things that can contribute to the fulfillment in your life and your happiness in your life is working on receiving. And people who are givers tend to be the worst when it comes to receiving, because their sense of purpose is derived from what they give to other people. But what they don't realize is that receiving is also giving. So if you're a giver, and this is also a massive abundance key, if you're a giver and you want to give somebody a gift and they don't receive, they're like, no. How does that feel? It feels like shit, doesn't it? So when somebody wants to give to you and you don't receive their gift, that's what they feel. So that's what you're giving them. You're creating a missed opportunity. So receiving is giving. When you allow yourself to receive, you're giving people the opportunity to give to you and experience that same great feeling when it comes to giving. And your life will be so much easier. And I know that traditional masculine conditioning takes pride in being able to thrive when things are difficult, but you'll be able to create and accomplish so more in your life when you allow yourself to receive support and what the people around you have to give. There's a whole new world just waiting for you to experience when you allow yourself to receive. And if you truly want to uncover what your partner wants and how to meet your partner's needs, I'm going to share one question for you. But before that, I need to dive in and share with you that there are a lot of different types of needs when it comes to relationship. There are sexual needs, there are support needs, there's emotional needs, there's intimacy needs, there's spiritual and religious needs. There are needs for variety and adventure. There's needs for growth. There are so many different types of needs in relationships. So you don't want to only ask your partner, what do you need from me? But you can also ask them, if you really want to go deeper, what do you crave from me in our relationship that I'm not currently giving you? What do you crave from me in our relationship that I'm not currently giving you? This question demands that you step into absolute humility. One of the biggest wounds, and we're going to be getting into wounds and navigating wounds in a moment here, but one of the biggest wounds that holds people back from thriving in relationship is the wound of not being enough. Men struggle with this specifically. Men have this wound. A lot of men have this wound of not feeling enough for their partner. So they hesitate to ask this question, what do you crave for me that I'm not giving you? Because they don't want to feel enough. They don't want to feel like they're not enough. But when you ask this question of what do you crave from me that I'm not giving you, it opens the door for your partner to share with you their deepest, darkest needs that maybe they have been holding back from sharing with you, or maybe they have told themselves that they aren't even worthy of receiving, and allows you to go to an even higher level in your relationship. What do you crave that I haven't been giving you? And when you ask this question, don't defend when they share something. Don't justify why you haven't been giving it. Just shut your mouth. I say that with humor. Shut your mouth. Listen. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Open your heart. And listen to what they're craving. Because it's incredibly vulnerable to open up and to share with somebody something that you have been craving that they haven't been giving to you. And maybe they share something that they've been sharing with you a lot, but your ego hasn't letting you hear it. But because you're in control in this situation, you're asking the question, you slow down and allow what they say to land in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind. Now, speaking about wounds, wounds show up in relationship as a result of the work that we have yet to do when it comes to our relationship with ourselves. Now, wounds can be created from relationships that don't work out, from past rejection, from past heartbreak, from past breakups, from past traumatic events. Everybody has wounds. And if somebody's telling you that they don't, they're most likely full of shit. Everyone has wounds. Everyone has baggage. And people get into this false belief around doing the work of like, I'm going to do the work now and work on myself. And then I'm going to get into a relationship and it's going to be perfect. And it's going to be amazing. And we're going to be so in love. Reality check. When you get into a relationship, your partner is going to push your buttons and they're going to be a mirror for the work that you have yet to do. And the triggers, when they trigger you, the triggers are the guides. When your partner triggers you, when they push your button, it's telling you there's something right here. There's a wound that they're pressing on that I need to work on. Okay. I'm going to get a bit vulnerable here and show you and share with you as a man how this shows up in my relationship. So one of the wounds that I have been doing work around, that I have been doing healing around, is it stems deep down from the wound of not feeling enough. But really how it shows up in my life is it shows up as the fear of not being competent enough to provide and lead my woman. And how this manifests and shows up is when I'm driving. Okay, so when I'm driving, if I don't feel like I am receiving absolute trust and confidence from my partner, if I feel like she's not trusting my ability to drive and to take care of her in that moment, my ego has a tendency to take that personally and to so quickly go, you're not enough. And then to get triggered with anger and frustration. And so, you know, something that I also realized is that my partner, and she, I'm sure she has shared about this openly, and I'm sure she's okay with this because she's in the same work that I am, but she has a similar wound, and this is common for many women, of at times not being able to trust the masculine, okay? And so when two people have this wound of, one person has this wound of not feeling, the fear of not feeling competent, and the other person has this wound of feeling like they can't trust the masculine, that creates conflict. Now, since we are equipped with the tools, we're able to navigate this in an effective way. At times, it has been absolutely messy, and relationship is absolutely messy. But let me share with you the unconscious way to navigate a wound like this and the conscious way to navigate a wound like this. The unconscious way to navigate a wound when it's triggered is to immediately go to blame and to take zero responsibility for your own wound. So what that looks like is, let's say that a wound is triggered and it's like, okay, this is your fault. You're wrong. You need to work on this, without zero acknowledgement or consciousness around like, okay, this is me being triggered as well. Now on the other side, toxic spirituality is your partner saying, you have this wound and you need to work on this. And I am going to give myself a free pass to continue triggering you because that's going to support in your healing. Incorrect. The higher level, the conscious place, is I give myself permission to react. I give myself permission to be messy in a relationship. I give myself permission to be seen 100% in my darkness and in my light. And I am committed to the highest level of healing around this wound, around this pattern, and I'm going to navigate it with my utmost commitment and care. And partner, my partner, how you can support me in this is by being mindful of this trigger. Since we're in relationship, it's going to be triggered, but please be mindful in how you navigate this trigger. Now, I don't want you to feel like you need to walk on eggshells around me, and I'm not saying do not trigger me, because that's very difficult. It's a very difficult precedent to set for somebody that you're in a relationship with. But here's how you can support me when I am triggered. When I am feeling hurt, when I have this coming up, please do your best to meet me with love. When I get angry with you, when this trigger comes up, what I'm really saying is I'm feeling hurt right now. I'm feeling hurt. And part of my own growth, and this has been big in my journey of navigating my wounds, men and myself specifically, and this is common with women as well, we tend to avoid expressing when we feel hurt. If we take something personally or something hurts us, instead of saying, I'm feeling really hurt right now, we use anger to push the threat back. And we go to anger and making the other person wrong. And so the work that I'm doing actively and have done a lot of work on around myself with is when I feel that anger coming up, breathing through it, connecting with it somatically and feeling that it feels like there's a hurt here. And instead of using anger to push away the threat, which oftentimes is the people that we love most, I'm going to say I'm feeling really hurt right now. I'm going to drop into vulnerability and say I am feeling really hurt right now. Because listen, our relationships, if you are in a healthy relationship, disclaimer here, they can be a mirror for you. And when you are vulnerable, if your partner is growth oriented and they're dedicated to their emotional intelligence and they're dedicated to their highest path, they will meet you in that vulnerability. It doesn't mean at times their stuff won't come up, but mastery of relationships and communication and spirituality when it comes to creating a healthy, thriving relationship is being able to be vulnerable and being able to hold yourself and also to be able to create the space for your partner to be vulnerable and for their shit to come up and to honor them through that and to both be able to navigate it and work through it together. That is the highest level. And that's relationship goals. That is worth working towards for sure, because that is not easy, but it's possible. And that's what I really want to land with you. So what I'm really wanting to land with you here around triggers is that, you know, your relationship, if you are in a relationship with somebody who's growth oriented, who can support you in your healing and you support them. And I don't believe that your partner should be the main role. I think that if you have inner work healing to do, that it's going to serve you a lot to be working with a coach, a relationship with coach, somebody that has a high level of expertise around this, or a therapist who's competent and who has a high level of expertise around this. And I say that because just because somebody's a therapist and just because somebody's a coach doesn't mean that they're a quality coach, doesn't mean that they're a quality therapist. It's really important that if you're going to work with somebody on this stuff, you find somebody that's a really good fit for you, somebody that you feel confident with, somebody that you feel like you can open up fully to you, and somebody that you can trust to guide you, and somebody who also lives the work in their life. You know, they're not being a coach or they're not being a therapist because it's something that they just rolled into. It is their life's work. These are the types of people that you want to work with because they're going to be the people who are really living it. So we just talked about wounds and triggers, and moving off of wounds and triggers, what ends up happening is if the right boundaries aren't in place, conflict ends up emerging. So one of the biggest tools that has helped me in my relationship is being able to learn how to have conversations with my partner that clear the air. Now, when it comes to having partners with your conversation where you can clear the air, you want to make sure that you understand each other's love language. I'm going to share about this. I'm dedicated to transparency in my relationship. Again, my girlfriend does the same work as me. We've shared this before. When my girlfriend and I first started dating, I lean more towards secure, anxious. Sometimes I can flex into anxious. Sometimes I can flex into avoidant. I'm mostly secure in my relationship style. Meaning when conflict comes up in my intimate relationship, I'm not perfect at this, but when conflict comes up in my intimate relationship, the majority of the time, I'm not going to walk away and I'm not going to get super anxious. I'm going to face the conflict head on and we're going to work through it. And that's it. Because I know that if you have the type of relationship where you're sweeping shit under the rug, it doesn't get better. The shit under the rug starts building and building and building and resentment fills and builds. And my standard for relationship is not to have a resentment, anger-filled relationship. It's to have a relationship that is filled with love and where we're on the same page. And so when I first started dating my girlfriend, something that she struggled with was when things got intense and when conflict happened, she would storm off into the other room. And that brought up my anxious. So she was leaning into avoidant and my anxious part was coming up, the anxious part of me. And so when she would go into the other room, and I'm sharing this because I know a lot of people can relate with this. When she would go into the other room and wouldn't say anything to me, wouldn't be like, I need space. And this was years ago. By the way, guys, this is transformed. This doesn't happen anymore because of what I'm about to share with you. I would get really anxious. I would be like, what is she thinking? Is she going to come back down? Is she going to want to break up? That would bring up my anxious part. So what I realized was that I needed to have a serious conversation because like this doesn't work for me. And so we sat down and I had a serious conversation with her and I said, listen, I understand that you may feel overwhelmed when we're in conflict and when things get intense, but it absolutely will not work for me when we have a conflict to go in the other room and to disengage like that. If you need space from me, that's perfectly okay. Let me know how much space you need and what works for you. And, you know, some people, when they're hearing this, they might interpret this as like, oh, wow, that sounds really controlling. And what I would say to that is you need to create, if you want to have a relationship that's in order, you need to create order in your relationship. And I also want to say that my girlfriend has had these same conversations with me, but in a different way about different things. So it goes both ways. It's not about me telling her like, this is how things are done. It's about setting healthy boundaries and saying, hey, this will not work for me. Like, I cannot imagine a relationship where we do this. It doesn't create healthy things, but and here's what I want to do. Like, I want to communicate with you and I want to work through it and know that when conflict comes up, like, I'm right here with you. And in that conversation, she shared a deeper fear with me that let me know where that was coming from. And so, like, what she was actually afraid of was interesting, was the exact same my anxiety. She was actually afraid that I was going to break up with her when we were having these serious conversations. So she was running from this fear of being broke up with. Of course she would go in the other room. Of course she would walk away. She has this fear of being broken up. Like, makes perfect sense. I would do the same thing. And so after we had that conversation, it completely changed. And this is why boundary setting and communication is so important when it comes to relationships. And so how do you set healthy boundaries in relationships? It starts with compassion and understanding and using empathic language and letting them know, hey, I'm sure you feel X, Y, or Z, so that they feel connected with. And you have to specifically identify the behavior. When you do this, and you can also let them know, I'm going to share some things with you that might feel a bit uncomfortable because some people don't respond well to boundaries, which is a red flag. But we could do another episode about that. But basically, you know, you need to identify the specific behavior. When what people do wrong when it comes to boundary setting is they're vague. They're like, this, you know, when you do this, it doesn't work for me. And then the other person on the other side is like, I don't know what you mean. So it's like, when you engage in this specific behavior, you need to communicate what the specific behavior is. That doesn't work for me. Okay, so when you do this, it doesn't work for me and it will not work for me any longer. Here's the other thing. A boundary without a consequence is a nice idea. A boundary without a consequence is a nice idea. Okay, if you're setting boundaries and they are being walked over, it's because you have never communicated or honored your consequences. How it sounds like is, this is a very strong boundary. I'm going to give you an example of a very strong boundary here. Let's say somebody's speaking to you in an abusive and hurtful way. Let's say they're screaming at you relentlessly nonstop. When you scream and yell at me, that does not work for me. And if that continues, we will no longer be in a relationship. That is a very strong boundary. But what it takes is you backing that up, is you connecting with your relationship with yourself and asking yourself, is it my standard to be in a relationship with somebody who relentlessly screams and yells at me? So you have to create that congruence within yourself before you set that boundary, because you have to be willing to walk away for that boundary to even be effective. So let's say you set that boundary and they go, are you threatening me? Because that's what people tend to do who are in their ego. Are you threatening me? I'm not threatening you. What I'm telling you is I'm communicating to you what will happen if you keep acting this way. It is your choice if you continue acting this way. Just in the same way that if you speed down the road, you're probably going to get a ticket. It's the same way for me. If you yell at me insistently like you just did, I will no longer be in this relationship. And you can count on that. Why does this work? Because human beings are motivated to move away from pain and towards pleasure. So if in their mind, they know that you mean business, and this goes back to your integrity with yourself. Like if you've said things and you've set boundaries and you haven't honored them, the consequences that you're creating are BS. But if they know that you mean business, they're not going to cross that boundary. And if they do, then they have to face the consequences and accept the consequences. And guess what? If someone's being unreasonable and unkind and mean to you and abusive in a relationship, the best thing that you can do for yourself is to choose you. The best thing that you can do to yourself as somebody who isn't respecting you is to go walk away and be in a relationship with somebody who will. But I believe in setting boundaries and giving people at least one chance, usually one chance. And if they prove that they can't handle it, then it's not worth it. Because you only have one life here. And the quality of our relationships makes up a big part of our own happiness. Now, here's a smaller example of a boundary. So let's say... somebody doesn't know how to regulate themselves in a relationship and they're projecting onto you when they're getting like really frustrated and upset. So when you get really frustrated and upset and you project your stress onto me in the way that, you know, you just did, that doesn't work for me. It will not work for me any longer, especially if it's right before bed, because that interrupts my bedtime. If that happens, what's going to happen is I'm going to spend the night on the couch. So I'm going to sleep on the couch. And if they do that again, and then you honor that, you go down, you sleep on the couch. And so like, that's an example of a small boundary to set. It doesn't have to always be, I'm not going to be in this relationship. Although sometimes it needs to. Now, here is my favorite magic word when it comes to relationships. This is a question that you, or not word, this is my favorite question when it comes to relationships. You can ask your partner this every day and it will transform your relationship. How can I support you today? It's as simple as that. How can I support you today? Imagine what, and sometimes you don't even need to ask this question. Sometimes you can literally just anticipate how to support your partner based on what you know about them. But asking them how I can support you today shows that you care. It shows that you are thinking about them, and it shows that you're being proactive. So imagine if both you and your partner, or you and your future partner, every day, first thing, were to communicate to each other how you can support one another through the day. What's one thing I can do to support you today? This will be an absolute game changer. Hey, we all know people who are struggling in relationships, and it is my mission that everybody on this planet has the tools that they need to thrive in every area of their life possible. So if this was helpful for you, would you do me a favor and share this episode with at least one person in your life that could benefit from hearing this and having these tools? I want you to think about right now, take stock in your mind of any of the people in your life that have recently come to you, or you know have been facing some challenges in their relationship, or friends in your life that aren't facing challenges, but you know value having the tools to thrive at a highest level. Please share this podcast with them. And while you're at it, make sure to follow the Ryan Clark and Mindset podcast. Hit that follow button on the main home screen of the podcast so you can be notified with each and every episode that I release. And, you know, one of the reasons why I do this is because it's an extension of my mission, which is to help create a fulfilling life. Help others create a fulfilling life, because that's what fulfills me the most. And it makes my day when I hear about the value that people receive on the podcast. So if you're willing to share this on your Instagram story or on your social media or on any platform and let me know the impact that this has had, or direct message me the impact that this episode has had on you, that will inspire me and fuel me when it comes to the future episodes, so that I can see the exact impact that I'm having on you. So any feedback is greatly appreciated. And if you want to learn how you can dive deeper and grow and be mentored on a deeper level with me, you can do that through reaching out to me on Instagram at Ryan Clarkin. Send me a message or email me and put mentorship in the subject, and share with me what you want help with and what you want to create in your life at ryan@ryanclarkin.com. My email is ryan@ryanclarkin.com. That's ryan@ryanclarkin.com. I appreciate you so much. Keep your eyes out for the next episode, and I will see you then.